Once when speaking to the medium during a lull in the conversation with our friends on the other side, a gentleman present remarked that all the comfort and satisfaction that Sloane had brought to thousands would be a joy to him in the years to come. An Aetherian agreed that this would be so, in these words: "It will be a beautiful memory he will have when he comes to the other side, to know that he has brought help and joy into the hearts of many." As I have already said, Sloane always disparaged his mediumship. At one of his last sittings, during a silence, when he was 76 years of age, his rheumatism bad, his eyesight poor, and his memory failing, but when his mediumship was as good as it had ever been, he made his customary remark which everyone knew so well: "I am no use at all." At once an Aetherian rebuked him in these words: "You take a somber view of things. We know all about you, friend Sloane. I do not think you have a right to say that. You should allow your friends to say whether you are any good or not. I am quite sure you are very, very helpful in many ways yet. You have the power to bring comfort to those whom you come amongst." With the above remark I shall close this chapter, which I trust gives the reader an idea of the man. 41. Whose ectoplasm enabled our Aetherian friends to vibrate our atmosphere, and tell us of the wonders in store for us all. Many men, who have been the leaders of the people for their good or ill, have been accounted great by their contemporaries and by historians. Sloane, from a worldly point of view, was not a great man, and, had I not recorded elsewhere some of the happenings at his seances, he would have been known only to the comparative few who had been enlightened by attending them. Nevertheless, though his death was ignored by the national press of this country, and only those who knew him mourned his passing, he was a really great man. He helped thousands to find comfort and satisfaction, by the knowledge they obtained through his mediumship that their friends still live and are happily awaiting the reunion someday. Likewise they learned that, if we live aright, we shall share the joys and happiness our departed friends are experiencing, in a world where beauty and happiness exist unrealized by anyone still on earth. Like all great men, he had a gift which raised him above the rest of the human race. Because he was unlearned, simple, and lived a retiring life, his work for humanity was ignored, but someday, when the curse of ignorance passes, and the great value of mediumship to the people is recognized, John Sloane will be hailed as one who did more to comfort and satisfy their inmost longings than most of the so-called great of the past or present. His work goes on through the records which have been preserved of some of his seances. These will be a satisfaction to very many in the years to come. 42. Chapter 3, The Stenographers. Seances have been held since early times. As already mentioned, we have the story of the seance held by Gilgamesh, king of Sumer, some 4,000 years ago. Seances were held in ancient Egypt, in ancient Greece, and by the Hebrews and Romans. A general description has come down to us of what occurred, but nothing reliable of what was said by the people of the other world. We have the story of the materialization of Samuel in the presence of King Saul, the story of the seance held on the day of Pentecost, and the record of Tertullian in 211 AD about the seances held in his church, but that is all. We have nothing reliable about what Samuel said to Saul, or what the entranced disciples said at Pentecost, or what Tertullian's medium said when entranced during the services in his early apostolic church. We are told that the early church father Jerome was annoyed by criticism made at a seance, by Aetherians, about his translation into Latin of the scriptures, but never do the exact words said by them come down to us, and the reason is obvious. Few knew then how to record speech in brief handwriting quickly enough in those days. In fact, the art of shorthand, or stenography, was generally unknown until the 19th century. The Greeks and Romans had systems known to a few, but these did not survive. Not. 43. Until the Reformation was the art revived, probably for the purpose of recording sermons, but the different systems in use were clumsy, inefficient and laborious. It was in the year 1837 that Isaac Pitman produced a system which was simple enough to be easily written and read. Since this invention of modern shorthand, the entire position has changed, so much so that speech can now be easily reported as quickly as the words are spoken. Consequently, of late years stenographers have been employed to an ever greater degree to record what was said by mediums in trance, or when giving clairaudient messages, but the darkness necessary for the direct voice has prevented many records being made, as taking down shorthand in the dark requires some practice. So far as this book is concerned, I am indebted to two ladies, Miss Miller and Miss Deary, both accurate and expert in the art of stenography, for overcoming the difficulty caused by the darkness, and for all that is herein reported as being said by those who spoke from the other side. That their records are strictly accurate there is not a doubt, because they were carefully checked within a day or two of each séance by those who were present at the séances recorded. The regular sitters always received a copy of the records after each sitting, and no one ever found anything inaccurate or questionable. In every case they were passed as correct. What is reported as being said was said, and the high characters of these two ladies, who took down the shorthand notes, is a further guarantee of their accuracy. Some of the speakers on the other side expressed their admiration from time to time of their 44. Way the stenographers did their self-imposed task, their work, moreover, being given without charge. This is what one Etherian once said. You are a wonderful little lady, Miss Deary. Your service to others in recording our words will be amply rewarded. Another Etherian once said. It is a high honor that we can claim you as our helper, to portray our thoughts. And on another occasion this was said. Whatever words you write will live after you, my dear. A longer and encouraging statement was once made to Miss Deary. I appreciate your thoughts and your work, and your sacrifice for others in writing all these things down. You don't just know what a blessing they will bring to somebody needing enlightenment and sympathy. There is never a message you receive from the spirit side of life that is not important. If it comes from the spirit side of life, it comes for a purpose, and for an object in view, and it never returns home again without having fulfilled that mission. I shall give just one more remark, made by someone from across the borderline. Oh, I wish I could just bring all the loving thoughts that those about you now seem to have for you. May the strength of the great ones give you power in your hand for a long time, my dear, to portray those beautiful thoughts from the other side of life which we have not the power to portray if it. 45. Were not through the instrumentality of your beautiful thoughts and writing. It is evident that the work done by Miss Deary and Miss Miller was appreciated by those Etherians who spoke to us at the séances reported in this book. The thanks of all who attended these meetings go out to them both, and I have little doubt that the many thousands who read their records will feel for them equal gratitude, for the great work they did for humanity in preserving for all time everything that was said at these remarkable séances. 46. Chapter 4, The Etheric Body. The first lesson in spiritualism is that we have an etheric body, a duplicate of our physical body. The etheric body interpenetrates the physical body during earth life, and leaves the physical body at death. Our mind does not die, and it controls the etheric body through the etheric brain. What is called our subconscious mind shaped our body on earth, and will shape and direct our etheric body in etheria. It constructed our earth body out of gross matter, and it has even greater power over the finer matter of the other world. The individual mind is the greatest factor in the universe. Without mind the universe would cease to be. Life and consciousness would end, and without these there would be nothing. To be able to live after death without a body, such as we now have, is difficult to imagine and, on the first favorable opportunity, I asked what kind of a body each of us has after death. To my question the answer was given in a loud clear voice by an Etherian whom all the circle had come to know and trust. I have a body which is a duplicate of what I had on earth, the same hands, legs and feet, and they move the same as yours do. This etheric body I had on Earth interpenetrated the physical body. The etheric is the real body and an exact duplicate of our Earth body. At death we just emerge from our flesh covering and continue our life in the etheric. 47. World, functioning by means of the etheric body just as we functioned on Earth in the physical body. This etheric body is just as substantial to us now, as the physical body was to us when we lived on Earth. We have the same sensations. When we touch an object we can feel it, when we look at something we can see it. Though our bodies are not material, as you understand the word, yet they have form and feature and expression. We move from place to place as you do, but much more quickly than you can. Now that physical science has revealed to us that matter is an open network of vibrations, and that different frequencies, rate of recurrence of vibrations, can occupy the same space, it is possible to appreciate how two bodies can appear to us as one. The vibrations of one appeal to our sight and other senses, to be known as the physical body. The one which is not sensed on Earth, and is invisible to us, we call the etheric body, which we will appreciate when it leaves the physical body under the control of our mind, the super-etheric picture maker which is our real selves. So we once were told by one who has made the change called death, the spirit body, etheric body, has the same formation as the material body, and there is no one that has not a perfect spirit body. I have never seen anyone ailing or suffering in any way. This was confirmed and enlarged upon on another occasion by one who had suffered much when on Earth. Life with us is just wonderful, although I do not know much about it yet, dear. I have no pain now. 48. In this land of light and liberty, pain does not exist. There is no pain now. One of the most comprehensive statements concerning us as etheric beings was once given in these words. You are just as much an etheric being now as you will ever be. You are just as much in the etheric world now as you will ever be, only you do not appreciate the fact in consequence of your having a physical body attuned to physical surroundings. The etheric world is about and around you, and, at death, when you discard your physical body, you are in the etheric world without having to travel any distance to get there. You became immortal at your birth, and you are just as immortal now as you will ever be. Your physical body covers your etheric body, and you cannot appreciate your etheric body because it is made up of substance at a higher rate of vibration than your physical eye can see. When you die, you will appreciate the etheric body, and cease to appreciate your physical body. Your new body grows more and more refined as time passes, and you will rise to higher and higher planes of consciousness. You will see more, and you will see further. You will hear more, and you will hear more clearly. Any deformities you have will be corrected here. If you have lost a leg or arm, you will have it here, as it was only the physical arm or leg you lost. A momentary pause and then the speaker continued his fluent remarks. Your understanding will be enlarged, and you, 49, will be more conscious of the beauties of your surroundings than you are in the physical body. Your scope of usefulness will be extended beyond the limit of your present imagination. You will not have to trouble about money, about earning a livelihood, about eating or about clothes, or about a house to live in, as your mind will be in so much greater control of your surroundings that it will be able to mold those surroundings to meet your desires. There will be no more pain or sorrow or regret, no more grieving over separation after your loved ones from the earth have joined you. You will cease to regret the errors of the past through rectifying past mistakes. You will then enter on a life of eternal progress and everlasting blessedness. To find oneself strong and well, in a body similar to the body which had been left on Earth, must be a great surprise to most new arrivals in the other world. This is what we were once told. I wish I could portray to you the startled look on some of the faces of those who have made the change and find they are standing, firmly grounded. We try to explain to them that they have passed from the Earth life into the spirit world. as one young man, a young soldier, said to me. But I am myself, it is amazing. Look, this is my hand, these are my legs, I am myself, I still have my body. Then it dawns upon them, and immediately their thought is of those left behind whom they love. It may be a mother, sister, brother, wife or sweetheart. How to get into touch with them and let them know that everything is all right, that 50. They still live. Their chief plaint is, oh, that I could tell them. We explain that this may be possible later on and then things are much better. In answer to a question, we received the following reply. Yes, my heart functions, all our organs function, but not just as in the human body. I do not understand very well myself, but I like to be near when some of the beautiful shining and advanced ones come to talk to us and teach us. Do you know, I just plunk down and listen as earnestly as you would do yourselves. As we are just mind, the wonderful substance which makes us conscious thinking individual beings, it consequently follows that memory does not die. We leave the physical body on earth to decay, but mind and the etheric body, being non-physical, do not die or decay. So we find on our arrival in the etheric world that our memory of earth life is still with us, and we can recall the past as we did on earth. Memory is our most wonderful possession, and the most potent argument in favor of our having a duplicate etheric body. Without memory we would be like dead things, and yet it is not physical in any sense. A man of 70 has not a single molecule present in his body which he had at the age of 20. They have all been renewed, and yet his memory of events, his capacity to repicture past events right back to childhood, remains unimpaired, vivid, clear and distinct. Our memory goes with us when we die as it is part of our mind, and we find Aetherians coming back and reminding us of things and events which happened in their childhood on Earth. 51. It is not the food we eat which determines the shape and size of the physical body, as can be discovered by putting a foal or a calf or a lamb on a grass field. Though they eat the same food and drink the same water, yet the body of each develops differently in size and shape. Moreover, they are continually renewing their bodies. Throughout a lifetime the flesh and bones of humans and animals waste away completely, but we do not notice it because new flesh and bones take their place. Each physical cell is renewed, but how is this possible without a structure to support the physical cell in its decay and renewal? To accept the reality of the etheric duplicate body for all living creatures, which our etheric friends tell us each one has, answers this problem. Consequently, it seems logical to accept what they tell us, because it fits in with what takes place on Earth. If something permanent did not remain, our bodies would have no foundation or uniformity. So nature has provided this etheric structure from our conception, and during its earth life it clothes itself, sometimes imperfectly, with physical substance like a garment, which it casts aside when, as a perfect body, it enters the etheric world, its real home. A man in Etheria who was blind on earth, when asked if he remembered someone he once knew, replied, "Yes, I remember very well. I could not forget old friends. I am just waiting to see you all when you come over. I remember with joy many incidents in my earth life, but God has given me a great blessing, ladies and gentlemen. He has given me eyesight that I may see and render a little service and succor." 52. To many of my fellow brothers and sisters in earth life when they come over here, "I hope I did my little best while in earth life. It was very little, but I did the best I could." Blindness, deafness, and the other ills we suffer on earth pertain to the physical body. Consequently, our etheric eyes and hearing are perfect, because the etheric body is perfect. Those who were blind can once more see, those who had lost arms and legs on earth have them again, as it was the physical body which was damaged, not the etheric. I remember hearing the voice of a man who had lost an arm on earth exultantly telling me he now had both his arms. My mother, who suffered much from rheumatism in her legs, once said to me, "I feel much younger now. I feel quite young again, no sore legs, and I can move about so freely. That has been my greatest satisfaction. One who was deaf on earth once remarked, "Sometimes my hearing was not good when I was in the body, but I can hear all right now." Another said to a friend who was present, "Well, I can get about now. Now that I have not the physical frame to hamper me. I was like you, and worse, for I was not half so active as you are, you know." Another time we received this confirmation. "When you come here, you find yourself possessed of a body almost a replica of what you left behind, only younger looking, though not immediately. I was resting, as I was told, for a considerable time when I first came over, and, when this rest period was over, I found I had regained my lost youth." 53. "But, as I have already said, what troubled me was that I could not immediately go away with those I loved." This Aetherian who spoke was not prepared for a life more advanced than he could understand, but that would come later as he developed in understanding, wisdom, and knowledge. Earth memories persist, as this old friend discovered. "I have been some time in spirit life, and found it very difficult to be persuaded that I had finished with the old world. I found it difficult to realize that I had left the physical body behind when I found myself possessed of a body as real as the one I had had. One that I could travel with and could go and see people who were still in earth life, until I realized that they could not see me. I thought it was such a funny thing, and at first I found it difficult to be happy on the spirit side of life. It was a very hard struggle for me at first, but I ultimately came on someone who showed me the way whereby I could get into contact with those left behind, and from that time I made progress. I have not progressed very far, but I am now on the right way, and am happy. Yes, they can travel far, and with ease in the etheric body." When once asked about this, the reply was emphatic. "Certainly we move about in a body similar to the one we had on Earth, similar in many ways, though not exactly the same. We walk, but there is another phase of it which I would like to explain to you. If we are tired, well, we do not tire here as you do, but if we feel we would like to go to a different place." 54. "At a great distance, we just concentrate on that place and we are there instantly. There is a force whereby we can project ourselves to the desired destination, and visit these different colonies. Do you actually take your body with you?" someone asked. "Yes, we are actually there in the body. When we have evolved sufficiently to live altogether on a higher plane, it is just a transition. When we acquire that power, we go quite readily." Our informants in Aetheria consistently stated that there they do not grow old. Old age pertains to the physical body, but not to the etheric body. Consequently, those who pass on old on earth, with the disabilities of age, return to maturity in their etheric bodies, with the vitality and health which pertains to their new perfect bodies. Likewise, those who die young grow to maturity, remain in that condition, and never grow old. On one occasion, someone present complained of growing old, to be told by his wife from the other side, "You have far too much of the old today, Daddy, for I am getting younger all the time. You are maybe getting older, but inside yourself your spirit is renewing its youth, and you will find the benefit of it when the time comes for you to come over, and all you have loved here will help you." This is what a mother in Aetheria once told her daughter who was present at the seance. Someone had referred to growing old. "You will never grow old, my dear, and, when?" 55. "You come here, time will stand still for you, and you will never be old. You build the house which you will have on the spirit side of life by your actions on earth. I am not speaking to you individually now. I am speaking to you all, and when you cast aside the trammels of the earth life, and pass over, no matter how old you are, you come back to your youth again and your fullest vigor. There will be no forgetful memories in these days." On another occasion, this lady was again told by her mother in Aetheria, "I have no halting walk now, Chrissy, and I am never tired. It is so beautiful to walk about here. Life was getting rather difficult for me, Chrissy, and all my trials are now over. Oh, it is heaven at last to be home. Then, again, a son in Etheria told his mother on earth. You are not sad now, mother, for you know I am not far from you. God bless you, my darling, my sweet mother. I wish I could just let you see me. Well, you would say I had turned into a stalwart fine fellow now. You know, mothers never see any fault in their boys and they always praise them. I know I got praises when I did not deserve them, although I got a scolding now and again. Once a grandfather told his granddaughter, who had called him granddad, "You make me out a very old man when you say granddad. If you saw me now, you would be surprised. I always had a buoyant outlook. I was always a boy amongst boys, and, of course, a boy amongst the girls, amongst my own girls, I mean." 56. And another time a lady present heard this from her mother. "You will get a big surprise when, in God's good time, you meet me again. You will not see a tottering old woman then, but one in the bloom of brightest youth coming to greet you. The halt, the maimed, the blind carry none of these infirmities to the land of spirit. If you are old on passing, you come back to the bloom of life, and if you are very, very young on coming to spirit life, you come to maturity, but you will know us all, and we never forget the dear ones that we left behind, and do all we can to help you on your journey." In reply to a question I asked about the mind, I was told, "Certainly your mind is something apart from the brain. You bring your mind over here with you. You leave your physical brain on Earth. Our mind here acts on our etheric brain and through it on our etheric body, just as your physical brain acts on your physical body. Consequently, as this is so, we can understand the following remarks made by a mother to her daughter on Earth. 'I used to be forgetful, but I have a splendid memory now. I could puzzle you now.' To be repeated in other words on a later occasion. 'I know what it is to live in the past, but you were always so good and kind to me. It is mother.'" Then, turning to another lady present, she addressed her by name. "I could not memorize things very well, you know. 57. I forgot things and sometimes did stupid things, but Chrissy was always kind." Then, returning to her daughter, she said, "That is what it was, Chrissy. My memory just seemed to fade away, but you were always kind to me and helped me. God bless you. These kind deeds, my dear, are recorded. Don't you think anything about it. You will see your mother on the other side of life in the full vigor of health, and memorizing everything so well. Here, something must be said about the color of the etheric body. It is not black, white, yellow, or tan, as are our earth bodies, because the natural coloring of our skin comes about as the result of where we live on earth, the sun, or lack of sun, determining the color of the skin of the bodies of the people on earth. So we need not be surprised to hear that the etheric body is not colored like our physical body, but, instead, it radiates colors which are determined by our mental development. Consequently, a girl in Etheria, whose skin was black on earth, remarked that her body was black no longer, or, to put it in her own words, 'My skin was black in the old days, my heart is white now. I love you all. There is a shining light on your brows. I am not of any particular color now. We lose the colors of the earth life as we come on, and we take on the vibrations and beauty of the spirit body which we have built for ourselves, and this makes us bright, or dull, as the case may be. I love colors and I try to make myself beautiful when I come to see you. I am not a black girl now. I did not like it. I am glad I am not.'" 58. From time to time during these seances, mention was made by the Etherians about the auras of the sitters. "Our auras are the colors produced by the radiation of our etheric bodies, which can be seen by the people on the other side, though clairvoyants on earth also claim to be able to see them under suitable conditions. Ancient literature refers to the auras around certain people, and those who have studied the subject tell us that they change according to our emotions. The aura becomes red when we are angry, brown when we are avaricious, rose when affectionate, purple or blue when religious or devotional, green when deceitful or jealous, those having a normal yellow aura being intellectual.